Road to Riches. That summer, Pat and I had planned to do something we had never done, take a real family vacation. We were going to take the kids and travel the Upper East Coast. Things were going so well with business that before we left on vacation, I went out and bought a brand new Porsche 911 convertible. Then I went and spent $11,000 to rent a 45-foot motorhome for the entire month of August. The plan was to leave Chicago, go to Washington, D.C. to visit my brother, Terry, and then head up the East Coast. I had a phone installed in the motorhome so I could keep up with the markets from the road. We left Chicago the first thing in the morning, Monday, August 1st, 1983. About lunchtime, I called Smith from my mobile phone in the motorhome. "Hey, what's the soybean market doing today?" "Beans are 20 cents higher." "Great. Why are we up?" "A weather report calling for unseasonably hot, dry weather for at least the next 10 days." I loved it. While I was on vacation, the soybean crop was going to roast in the worst drought since the Dust Bowl days of 1936-37. I was going to get paid by the market to be on vacation. I thought to myself, maybe we'll go all over the country next year and I'll just trade from on the road. "What's the lumber market doing?" "It's limit down." Ouch. Well, I was up more in the bean oil than I was down in the lumber, so I was still up on the day. We pulled into my brother's on Wednesday, August 3rd. The next night, some of Terry's friends came over for dinner. They had just seen a new movie about the commodities markets called Trading Places, and they wanted to know all about the commodities markets and the life of a trader. So I stayed up half the night telling them war stories about my experiences in the markets. When they found out about the lumber position I had on that was just killing me, they couldn't believe I could have such a loss and handle it. I also told them about the killing I was making in the soybean oil market. They were all caught up in the conversation because of the movie they had just seen. The next day, lumber was limit down, so I called Smith. "See if you can call somebody and find out why lumber is down so much." He came back with a story that some huge commodities fund was liquidating a large portion to keep from taking delivery of lumber. Well, okay, I thought to myself, that's no big deal. The market will start back up after this clown gets out of the market. But the market continued limit down for 3 days. Limit down for 3 days on 50 or 60 contracts adds up to real money. I was down about $70,000. Finally, I started asking Smith some intelligent questions like, what are the spreads doing? Where is the cash market trading? What is plywood doing? The bull spreads had been deteriorating for about 8 days or so, but that day they were starting to turn back around. Okay, buy 20 contracts at the market. With the market turning, I figured I would add on to the position so I could make back the money more quickly. Then we left Terry's and continued the vacation. Well, it turned out the day I bought those last 20 contracts was the low in the market for a while, and the market rallied $13.50 per thousand board feet in about a week. Somewhere around Philadelphia, I had gotten about $50,000 of the $70,000 back. Victory out of the jaws of defeat, I thought to myself. I was driving down the Jersey Turnpike, drinking Budweiser, talking on the phone, trading commodities, and thinking I was the neatest guy in the world. Fortunately, the lumber position didn't force any change in the real position, soybean oil. I'd call Smith a couple of times a day to see how the bean oil market was doing. "How's it look?" "Oh, it looks great." "Yeah, I thought so." "Yeah, we're fine." "Yeah, I wish we could buy some more." We would go back and forth like this with the old buddy routine, preaching to the converted. There's nothing worse than two people who have on the same position talking to each other about the position. "How's it look?" "Oh, it looks great. Beans are limit up and so is bean oil. This thing is bullish as hell." "Are they still focusing on the weather?" "Yeah, and also that Fed Chairman Volcker and Treasury Secretary Regan have launched a coordinated intervention in the currency markets with European central banks to push down the value of the U.S. dollar. That'll help our exports and push grain prices up even more, won't it? That's right. After the close on August 11th, the Agriculture Department released a crop report indicating damage to the crop as of an August 1st survey. The market had been up strong for several days going into the report. I called Smith. How's the market? Limit down, and our bull spreads in bean oil are losing some ground. Limit down? Why? I thought the report was bullish, didn't you? Yeah, but Hurricane Alicia has moved into the Gulf of Mexico, and the market thinks the rains from the storm will help the crop in the Mississippi Delta. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Alicia isn't going to spawn gentle spring showers. Those storms are going to be so violent they'll probably rip the soybeans right out of the ground. I think the market should be up. The market was limit down again the next day, and the bull spreads in oil lost some more ground. One of the oldest rules of trading is, if a market is hit with very bullish news, and instead of going up, the market goes down, get out if you're long. An unexpected and opposite reaction means there is something seriously wrong with the position. Two consecutive limit down days following the release of a supposedly bullish government report does not indicate a strong market. Faced with that situation, what did these two bold and committed traders do? Get out, or confidently hold on to their position and opinion? That's right. We decided the market was wrong, and we were not going to let them get us out of this great position. Within days, the market turned and was moving our way again. Break the rules, maintain your conviction, and reap the rewards. Our courage under fire was about to be rewarded. The evening of Wednesday, August 24th, we pulled into Larry Broderick's lake house just outside of Cleveland. We were wrapping up the vacation, and I wanted to be back in the office the following Monday. Larry and I got up the next morning and went into his office in the house, made some phone calls, watched the markets a little bit, and then went out onto the dock. At the end of the dock, he had a quote machine, a phone, and a little refrigerator. We were sitting out in the sun on the last Thursday in August, 1983, watching our market positions, drinking a beer, and thinking life couldn't get any better. But it did. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that week, the bean oil market had closed limit up, so the spreads hadn't made or lost any money for us. But on Thursday, the spreads started to trade. The September bean oil that we were long went up 150 points, and the January month that we were short went up only 80 points. The contracts further out closed lower on the day. The bull spreads were working like a charm. At the end of the day, I had made $248,000. In one day, $250,000. Now remember that all the people I knew in the whole world had these bean oil spreads on. My secretary made $2,400 that day. That's real money when you're making $35,000 a year. Broderick made almost $50,000. Including all the people I had told about this bean oil trade, we were up almost $700,000 in one day. I was getting calls from all over the country telling me how great this was and how smart I was. And I agreed. Yes, I am so smart. But this is just the beginning. This bean oil market has a long way to go, and we are all going to get rich. I also heard through our contacts in the market, since now we were pretty big players in the bean oil market, that it looked like the primary guy on the other side of this trade from us was none other than the legendary trader Richard Dennis. Richard Dennis, dubbed the Prince of the Pit, borrowed $1,600 from his family in 1970, bought a seat at the minor league Mid-America Commodity Exchange for $1,200, and ran the remaining $400 into a reported $200 million over the next 15 years. Oh, I said, that's good news. We're going to take out Richard Dennis. We'll go down in trading history as the guys who took out Richard Dennis. Can you stand it? Not only were we going to be rich, we were going to be famous, too.